Two Roads, Elder Richard L. Evans. Richard L. Evans, Conference Report, October 1968, page 41-45. Some days ago, on September 17, as referred to by President McKay this morning, we dedicated a new flagpole on Temple Square, with flags flying 100 feet high and a base and background of panels on liberty and law, including the Ten Commandments and some other reminders of our basic beliefs, among them these, panels on liberty and law. We believe that governments were instituted of God for the benefit of man, and that he holds men accountable for their acts in relation to them, both in maintaining laws and administering them, for the good and safety of society. We believe that no government can exist in peace, except such laws are framed and held inviolate as will secure to each individual the free exercise of conscience, the right and control of property, and the protection of life. We believe in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. Despite an all too prevalent and all too popular appeal to permissiveness, we still reap what we sow, and I would plead this day, with the young, the old, with the counselors of youth, the teachers of youth, with all of us to recommit ourselves to living by law, playing in the rough, to those who are pulling away from God-given and long-proved principles, abandoning and protesting. May I offer the very interesting observation of a wise and seasoned president whose stake I was recently privileged to visit, and who said, in substance, with golf course connotation, when there is all that fairway, why do you play so much in the rough? Too many are playing in the rough, frustrated, foolishly dissipating present possibilities, and jeopardizing the limitless opportunities of everlasting life. Too many are protesting, lashing out in anger, without making any constructive contribution to solving the ills and the evils. We ought to be angry about evil and never be complacent, never let it quietly see into our surroundings. But we ought not to be angry and resentful against good advice, against reasonable restraint, against the counsels God has given. Stubborn, blind, brash anger, going ahead against all safeguards and danger signs, as an utterly short-sighted and self-destructive anger. Comments on irresponsible protest. Let me insert here some comments on irresponsible protest from three or four significant sources, dating back to the last century and coming down to the present scene. The first is from Phillips Brooks. If circumstances taunt and persecute you, he said, if everything you touch is a strain and a temptation, do not stand idly wishing that the world were changed. The change must be in you. Back on the wills of men, where it belongs, falls the responsibility of sin. The second, from Dr. Fosdick, comes closer to us in time. Today, I am dealing with a special area of young persons, some of whom, I think, are fooling themselves, he said. They find it easier to become excited over social reform than to deal with their own characters. They are, for example, pacifists in general, but they have such a quality of spirit that they break up the peace of any group they enter. They ardently say that the world needs to be changed, but their neighbors know that, however that may be, they certainly need to be changed. Suppose that the social reforms were now successfully achieved. Can anyone who visualizes that redeemed society suppose that personal character would be called for less? Surely, personal character would be called for more. Always in history, character and happiness have come to people when they shouldered their personal responsibility. The third is a comment from George Kennan. As recently reported, the revolutionary habit may get ominously out of hand. Violent protest amounts to intimidation and blackmail. If tolerated, it leads to dictatorship. I have seen more harm done in this world by those who tried to storm the bastions of society in the name of utopian beliefs, than by all the humble efforts of those who have tried to create a little order and civility and affection within their own intimate entourage. The revolutionaries have not been able to face a vitally important truth, namely, that the decisive seed of evil in this world is not in the social and political institutions and not even, as a rule, in the ill will or iniquities of statesmen, but simply in the weakness and imperfection of the human soul itself. And by that I mean literally every soul, including my own and that of the student militant at the gate. The disquieting thing about today's revolutionaries is that many of them could not care less about traditional good and evil. Their vision is apocalyptic. Ultimately, it will accept nothing save obliteration of all stabilities. People yearn for ultimate upheaval, said Earl Rovat, because they believe it will restore innocence and purity to the world. Yet it may be destruction that really attracts them. Their basic attitude is not that they want to break windows in order to let the fresh air in. The fact is they are hopelessly in love with the sound of smashing glass. Pathways that people pursue. Recently, with some much appreciated help, I have had occasion to select some citations on the roads and pathways that people pursue. Any road leads to the end of the world. said Edward Fitzgerald, where the road bends abruptly, take short steps, and, of course, there is a classic from Robert Frost, On the Road Not Taken. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. My beloved young friends, let us not destroy ourselves by taking the wrong road, by refusing counsel, by departing from proved principles, by yielding to appetites, by indulging passions, by straying off the straight way that leads to life and truth and to all the limitless accomplishments of the everlasting future, as well as peace and purpose and happiness here, setting things right. Of course, the young and all of us are often impatient to see utopia come sooner, to see everything set right, right now. There may be in the air a little of the feeling of Hamlet, the time is out of joint, O curse spite, that ever I was born to set it right. But just plain protest and rebellion and dissipation and destruction will not set things right. The answer is that we were all born to set right whatever should be set right that is within our reach. We shouldn't dodge or run from duty, but should be engaged in the service of our fellow man, in the service of the master, in doing all that should and can be done. Opportunities for action. And as to opportunities for action, there is in the Church of Jesus Christ provision for activity and action pertaining to the physical and mental and spiritual health and wholeness of all men everywhere. There is outlet and opportunity for the strength and service of all who wish to help toward the peace and well-being of all people, welfare, serving others, taking care of our own, tithing, teaching, health, hospitals, schools here at home, educating the less privileged in far places, bringing thousands of the children of others into our homes and hospitals, youth programs, athletics, talent development, cultural and recreational activities, rehabilitating people with problems, preserving the integrity of home and marriage and family life, caring for the sick, compassionate service, encouragement to seek knowledge, to develop skills, to acquire competence, to qualify for professional service, encouragement to be active in politics, civic affairs, public service, to foster freedom, to share the gospel, to teach the truth, to move among all peoples to learn their languages, to become acquainted with customs and cultures, to be anxiously and constructively concerned about the physical, mental, moral, spiritual well-being, the peace and health and happiness of all people, and with the earnest intent and endeavor that all this be done without the use of public funds. The list could be multiplied to include a completeness of provision for the temporal and eternal salvation of all. My beloved young friends and you who are older, there are some things that are not good for man and which we are counseled not to do and not to partake of. But basically this is not a gospel of not doing. There is ample opportunity for all for the outlet of all your energy and earnest intent for the blessing and upbuilding of people at home and worldwide, means for solving problems. Of course the world has troubles, uncertainties, problems. Of course we are impatient and puzzled at times, but the means and the reason for improving and repenting and for solving the problems are given us in our Father's plans and purposes. May I cite two oft-quoted scriptures, and put some added emphasis on them. Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. The emphasis could well be on good and righteousness. Another, wherefore, honest men and wise men should be sought for diligently, and good men and wise men you should observe to uphold. I infer from this that we have an obligation to be active in public issues, in civic problems, and to provide honest and good men and wise men to serve and give leadership in public affairs. We shouldn't be sideline sitters. Guidance of a prophet, with you. I thank God for a prophet to guide us in these latter days. He has given us counsel at this conference, and through all his faithful years in the great-hearted kindliness and inspiration of his calling, I hope and pray that we may accept the counsel of President McKay, and the counsel of him whom he serves. The Lord hasn't asked of any of us anything that we can't do, nor given us any commandment that we can't keep. I only know one place to put my trust in the counsels and commandments of God, which patiently he has repeated over and over through the ages, and again given us. Choose the right. Mothers, fathers, set before your children a righteous example. Love them, lead them, take them where they should be. If they follow you, be sure that they follow you in the right habits, to the right places, for the right purposes. Don't lead off in any direction in which you would wish they wouldn't follow. And you, my beloved young friends, you have more opportunities than any generation ever had. God bless you to choose the right, to use your energies in constructive, righteous ways, in useful, virtuous, productive performance, not in irresponsible protest, not dropping out, but entering in, with the full use of the opportunities and talents God has given you, knowing and keeping his commandments, honoring, obeying, and sustaining and upholding the law, and going forward in faith with peace and accomplishment and quiet conscience. Any road leads to the end of the world, when there is all that fairway. Why do you play so much in the rough? What is the use of running when you are on the wrong road? I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Witness of God, I leave you my witness of this work, my witness of the living God who is our Father and who made us in His own image, my witness of the divinity of His beloved Son, our Lord and Savior. All He did was for the salvation of man. May each of us follow His example and seek with all our hearts to save ourselves, our families, and all our Father's family, to the very best of our abilities and energies and opportunities, not negatively protesting, but positively producing, not sitting down, but serving and moving forward, not destroying, but creating, not infecting with doubt, but building with faith. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and Savior. Amen.